May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 790. A saint there was in days of old, though we but little of him hear, in honour high of whom is told a short but an effectual prayer. This prayer, my brethren, let us view and try if we can pray so too. 790.
Thank you.
read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come, and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, we would seek for a breath of real prayer as we bow before thee. Thou who art that holy and eternal Lord God, thou who art a God of heaven and God of earth, and who holdest our life and our breath in thy hand. Oh, we do pray as we gather this evening that thou wilt grant thee gracious help and aid of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be favoured to know and to feel thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls. May we sweetly prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. O Lord, how we need thee to come where we each are, and to visit our souls with thy salvation, and to sweetly assure us that we are among thy living family, that thou hast chosen us ere time began, that thou hast redeemed us, and that we are thine. O Lord, we do need real things, those real blessings, those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're poor, unworthy sinners, if one may speak for us each. Our very best is stained, one said, and died with sin. Our all is nothing worth. And oh, how we need thee to wash us, Lord, and cleanse us from all our many, many sins. Lord, all we deserve is thy wrath and for thee to cast us off forever. We have done nothing to merit esteem or give the Creator delight. Oh, do have mercy upon us, we pray. Lord, do grant to us a heart to confess our many, many sins before thee, a heart to truly weep over our sin and after thee, a heart, Lord, to earnestly seek thy face and give thee no rest until thou dost appear. And oh, that thou wilt seal pardon to each sin-sick soul this night. May this be the set time when thou wilt favour thy dear people, that thy burdened sinner may lose their load and downcast souls rejoice. O Lord, do come as thou didst to the dear publican, and sweetly assure us that thou hast put away all our sins at Calvary, and that thou didst shed thy precious blood for us. O Lord, do come and seal pardon and peace to our souls. Lord, we pray that we may know that sweet liberty which only thou canst give. For thou hast said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And O Lord, we want to feel it in our hearts from the bondage of sin. Oh, do loose us from it. The bondage that Satan so often brings us into, we pray thou wilt loose us from it. the bondage of unbelief. Oh, that thou wouldst give us that faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls. And help us, Lord, to trust thee where we cannot trace thee. And help us to lean hard upon thee, and to give thee no rest until thou dost hear and answer our cries and our groans. And we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt meet each soul's need this night. For Lord, thou knowest what each one needs, we know not. And we pray that thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. And oh, that thou wouldst grant that there may be those that may need thee in some special way, that thou wouldst come and supply that need. And oh, that thou wouldst dry up the tears of those that weep, for thou hast promised that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, do come and turn, Lord, the captivity of thy people as the streams in the south. And may there be many enabled to praise and bless thy holy name and to crown thee Lord of all. Do confirm, Lord, those exercises that are real, but do dry up in us all that's only flesh. Oh, do confirm thy work in us, and that we might have the confirmation we're in that narrow way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Do call us by thy grace if thou hast not already. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God. May we never be left to be deceived. But if we're deceived in anything, Lord, undeceive us. We pray that thou wilt feed thy hungry poor. Thou knowest, Lord, those that have come even this night, hungry and thirsting for the truth. Oh, that thou wouldst feed them with the bread of heaven. And as thou hast recorded in thy word, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Oh, that there may be that real appetite in each of our hearts for the truth, for the blessed gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And may thy hungry poor be fed with living bread. Oh, do make us real, Lord, make us right. And grant us that heavenly diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Do bless the dear children. Remember them each, Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy people. May they be kept by the power of God. And may there be found in their young hearts some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel, an aching void which this world can never fill. And may they be raised up, if it would please thee, to be pillars in thy house in their day and generation. And that thou wilt fulfil thy promise that instead of the fathers shall come up the children. And oh, that there may be yet a seed to serve thee the generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed, both in this sanctuary and throughout Zion. We pray for the dear young people, thou wilt preserve and keep them, watch over them. May they not be drawn away by Satan and by sin and by this world, but may they be drawn by thee to thy dear feet. And may there be those real humble walkers throughout Zion and not just ready talkers. And Lord, do hear and answer the prayers of the young and provide for them in providence and in grace. And may they be faithful stewards in thy cause. And do come, Lord, and bless those in middle age with the many burdens and weights and trials and concerns they have. We pray thou would undertake for each one. And may their prayers be heard and answered. Look upon those in affliction's pathway. We pray for those with us that are in weakness and in affliction. Dear brother at the desk, do further strengthen and heal him if it's thy will. And those with us that are not well, others unable to gather. Many, Lord, in many afflictions. We pray that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. May these things be sanctified, Lord, to thy people, and that there may be a blessing in them all, that there may be those enabled to say, my Jesus hath done all things well. And, O Lord, do prepare us each for a vast eternity. We solemnly realise as we come to a close of another year, Lord, our lives are fast ebbing away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Oh, that thou wouldst prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothed, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. We remember, Lord, those in the evening time of life. We pray thou wilt sweetly assure them that the eternal God is their refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And oh, we pray for thee to abundantly bless this corner of thy vineyard. Lord, thou hast done great things here over recent years, which we would praise and bless thee for. And we pray that there may be yet others constrained to take up their cross and follow thee, and to be as obedient children. O Lord, thou alone knows the great exercise and concerns of men. We pray thou wilt so fill thy people with thy love, that they may be able to say, for the love of Christ constraineth us. May there be those venturing souls, Lord, venturing while there's room. For thousands make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. We pray thou wilt remove all that hinders. Thou alone knowest the various hindrances there are, Lord. And we pray that all those hindrances may be removed. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember Zion, especially our own flock at home, and Remember thy servants and those that are not well. And, oh, if it would please thee, do heal them and sanctify these afflictions, that there may be many profited by the ministry. And, Lord, that thy name may be glorified. Do help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. For, Lord, we so often feel like Jacob. I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. We pray for have a heart that is truly humble, a broken, contrite heart, a heart that trembles at thy word. Do have mercy upon this nation and look upon us, Lord, then. Seest all that has taken place this week. We do thank thee in many ways thou hast heard and answered the prayers of thy people. May this nation once more be a sovereign land. But above everything, Lord, may it be a nation that fears thy name. And that our leaders and rulers, our queen and the royal household, may all be brought to seek first the kingdom of heaven and thy righteousness. Lord, we pray for thee to appear, and may it please thee to yet overturn and overturn all the workers of iniquity and the laws that are contrary to thy word, and that thou wilt yet grant right laws upon our statute book. Now we would not multiply words. Do bless the deacons and help them and remember them in all their need. And do bless the hymns they give out. Lord, may we know the realities of what we sing and the sweet experiences in them. Do call by grace and any that as yet know thee not. And work, we pray, that there may be a returning of prodigals. Lord, the power's thine. Do touch our lips now with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. We would beg it for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and the 7th verse. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, and verse 7. Jesus came and touched them, and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, and verse 7. Jesus came and touched them, and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." Those of you who are present this morning will remember we looked at this wonderful account of the Lord Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration and how he favoured these dear disciples. And we look particularly in conclusion this morning at the glorious words of God the Father, where he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now we have here Matthew's beautiful account of it. And we read, after the Lord had spoken those sacred words, what effect did it have upon these dear disciples? We read this, "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid." They were melted by the abundance of the revelation, and they fell humbly on their faces to the earth. And they were afraid. We find many records in God's holy word where the Lord so appeared like he did to Jacob and he was afraid. And many others, we think particularly of Daniel, where the Lord appeared to him and he fell on his face to the earth and was afraid. And our text is the sweet answer that the Holy Spirit has given concerning these dear disciples. And what do we read? "And Jesus came and touched them." Let me come low as we begin this evening. Is it your prayer and mine and desire the Lord would come personally to you and to me? How many times do we have to plead, "Lord, do come. Visit my troubled breast." Well, here he came to them, right where they were, in all their trembling and afraid condition. And he came. What a difference it will make to your poor heart and mine when the Lord comes. We sing in the hymn, don't we? "When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside and fears remove, and I'm completely blessed." Are there those places you can look back to this evening where the Lord has come? Maybe you're in the depths of trouble, the depths of affliction. And I'll tell you something, poor soul, you won't forget he's coming. when he comes to you, we read Jesus came. He knew how to appear for these dear disciples. And shall I not say tonight, he knows just how to appear for the need of each one of us here. And he has an appointed time when he will come. Jesus came. This word seemed very sweet to one's own heart. And I long that we might each know more and more of it. We think of how when the disciples were so troubled on many occasions and how he came to their aid and how he came and answered their cries and groans and sighs and how he came to deliver them and how he came to heal their diseases and their afflictions. Jesus came. They didn't want anybody else, did they? It was only he. We sing, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And ere we leave the house of God tonight, may we know more and more as we venture on, if we are spared into the coming year, know those times when he comes. Because he can put everything right, poor soul. Especially those things that to you and me so often seem so crooked. Now these dear disciples, they needed him to come. And let me bring it right home to your heart and mine. That you need him to come to you tonight. Lord Jesus, come. And then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. And Jesus came. Well, much could be said on that, but he went further. And he touched them. He touched them. The hymn writer said, "One touch from thee will make me whole." You think of the times where the dear Saviour walked this earth. He touched the eyes of the blind, didn't he? And what was the sweet effect of it? They received sight. The gracious effect of it as he touched them. You see, this touch was for these dear disciples and for those that were blind and those in their afflictions, he touched them and they were healed. There was divine power in that touch. One, as I just quoted, touch from thee shall make me whole. You think of the woman with the issue of blood. She desired that she might touch him. And you see, this is twofold, really. Not does the child of God just long for the Lord to touch their hearts, but they long to touch him. And the Lord gave her that faith, didn't he? To believe that if she could but touch, she would be made whole. And as soon as she touched the border of his garment, immediately, the issue of blood that she'd had 12 years stanched. She was healed immediately. Those that know the festering sores of sin tonight within your poor heart and mine, he alone can touch you and all those sins be removed. Like it was with that dear woman. Now, I don't wish to read into the word more than the Holy Spirit would allow us, but you know, when you look at her case of that affliction, that no doctor of earth could heal her, there's no doubt they'd tried all their means naturally to heal her. but they couldn't. She believed if she could but touch the border of his garment, she'd be made whole. As soon as she touched, the virtue from the Saviour flowed into her, healing virtue in her body and too in her soul. And why I say that is because what he spoke to her, daughter, may speak it to one poor soul here tonight. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then he said this, and what that crowned it all, you know. Go in peace. And the only way she could go in peace was everything to be put right within her with that blessed touch. Oh, that we might know more of the Lord to touch us. Now let us look at it in a few ways as how briefly. How often we are hard and we are rebellious if we are honest and know our own hearts. And the Lord knows how to touch us when we are like that. And when he touches us, what will be the effect of it? It'll take away all that hardness, all that rebelliousness, and we'll be humbled in the dust. Oh, we will. You see, just one touch from the Lord can put it all right in a moment, and all the rebelliousness in your heart, and we're prone to it, aren't we? I've told you many times, maybe over the years, of where the Lord touched me in the hop garden in Kent, in Chartsutton. I should never forget it. And I was rebellious because of the Lord's crosses that I got in Providence, the hidings of the Lord's face in my soul, and I say it to my shame, I walked down that hop garden alley and I was hard and rebellious, kicking against the Lord. And the Lord knew how to remove it all and to touch me. And he spoke these words. And I shall never forget it. Rebellious thou hast been. And I had to acknowledge it. And art rebellious still. And then he melted me by this. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I fulfill. And you know, as he spoke that, the touch of heaven came and I just wept before the Lord because of the hardness and rebelliousness, but I wept for joy because of what he'd said to me. But since in love, I took thee in, my promise I fulfilled. He knew how to touch me and he knew the very spot and the very place. And you won't forget them, poor soul. You think of the blind men when he came to them and he touched their eyes. And to start with, they saw men as trees walking. They couldn't see clearly. And you know, often we are like that, aren't we? We have a measure of sight in the spiritual journey. We cannot see our way. But one touch, he touched them again. And immediately, their sight was completely healed. They saw clearly. And as soon as he touches you, poor soul, you'll know the sweet effect of that touch. But then, another way we would just bring it before you is when we feel cold and lifeless and we say in our heart, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Our love is cold and faint. We desire to love him, but we cannot bring it on ourselves or create it ourselves. but one touch of his love in our souls. What would it do? Well, the hymn writer said, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And one touch of his love in our souls will kindle that love in us. We will. You'll be able to say when you receive this touch, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. I remember preaching at Ashram on one occasion on the love of Christ, and a dear lady said to me afterwards, she said, you know, you got right into my heart today. And she quoted that. She said, I felt where you preach, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and soul. The Lord so touched as I preached on the love of Christ to sinners. She was absolutely filled with that love and was enabled to take up her cross and follow the Lord. And then there are times where those promises that he may have given you some years ago, they seem dead, they seem buried. You think, well, were they real? Did they come from the Lord? And the devil tempts you and tries you, and you look and you wonder whether the blessing was real. Was from the Lord. Well, poor soul, if he touches you and speaks that word again with power to your poor soul, it'll be as real to you as it was maybe 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago when he said it. You see, we need the Lord to give us a touch again, don't we? Oh, yes. That touch of love, a touch of compassion, a touch of sympathy. You think how sympathising the Saviour was to his dear disciples when they were filled with sorrow, when he was going to leave them. You know, it's wonderful when there are those around us when we're in trouble or we're in distress or we're weeping, and there are those that are very sympathetic to us. But you know, we have a sympathetic high priest above. All we have that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he knows how, poor soul, to touch your poor heart and to sympathise with you. Touched, we sing in the hymn, don't we, with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Jesus came and he touched them. And he touched them. May this word stir us up personally, each of us, to say to the Lord, Lord, do grant me that touch as those dear disciples had. And why did he touch them? Because he loved them. They were his. He was to redeem them. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he touched them. But of course, this can be a very searching word too. You know, those that some of us can look back in our unregenerate days where we were servants of Satan. There may be some of you young ones, and or even older ones, and You listen to the devil more than what you listen to the Lord. And you go on your way and think you can manage without the Lord. Saul of Tarsus did. Many others did. Until the Lord touched them. It may be you speak a word to you that touches your inmost heart and brings you away from serving yourself and serving Satan to serve the living God. It may be he comes down and he touches you, your poor heart, and shows you what is within you, a sink of sin and unbelief. The vileness within our hearts, he touches us. And we see what there is within. And have to cry out like the publican for mercy. It's a good prayer what the dear hymn writer sweetly was inspired to write, isn't it? Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. It's a good prayer, you know, for the seeking sinner. Or as the publican, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you look how the Lord touched him and had mercy upon him so that he could go down to his house justified rather than the other. His pardon signed and his peace procured. But one more thing, though I know we can look at it in many more ways, but do we not need the Lord to give us a sweet touch of his precious blood? And I speak that with much reverence. Let me ask you this question. Have you an interest, and have I, and the Lord's the witness, in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus? The professor of religion, the world, the ungodly have no interest in it. The poor, needy, helpless sinner needs that precious blood. And they need the Lord to touch them with his pardoning love, that all those sins may be removed. But Jesus came and he touched them. If nothing tonight, may the Holy Spirit sweetly whisper that into your heart and mine, and may we know the sweet experience of it, like these dear disciples did, in some sacred measure. And Jesus touched them. And then he spoke to them. Remember, they'd fall on their faces to the earth. They were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." I don't intend really to look much at this word arise, because when we were here last we spoke, if I remember rightly, from that word in the book of Ezra, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee, we also will be with thee, be of good courage and do it. And I looked at some length of that word arise, but it's a beautiful word, you know. What was it to do with these dear disciples? It was to raise them from the earth. For us to be, for us to know the need of that word arise, it means we must be in a low place for us to arise. Or a person that is sitting down, the only way they can go and walk is to arise, isn't it? Oh, it is. And there's so many beautiful records in the Word of God where the Lord speaks that word, arise. We think particularly, if I may just name it, of Jairus' daughter. Look how he touched her and said to her, "Maid, arise." There she was, lying dead. And she arose straightway. And they commanded to get, he commanded them to give her meat. Arise. And we think too of that beautiful word in the book of Kings concerning Elijah, when he was under the juniper tree, when the Lord sent his angel down and said to him, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And those that may be exercised concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, that's a beautiful word, you know. Arise and take up thy cross and follow me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had that word spoken to him, didn't he? Arise, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. But I leave that for your meditation. I want us help to look a little at what he said to them when he'd spoken that word, arise. And it was life and power to my poor soul when the Lord spoke it. And be not afraid. There they were, afraid, weren't they? Because of the abundance of the revelation. Because of the abundance of what they had to experience. Be not afraid. Now, whenever the Lord speaks such a word as this, he doesn't just speak it to all men, does he? Why? He will speak it to those that are afraid. And there's many things to make the child of God afraid. All there is. We think of the dear disciples in the 14th chapter of this sacred gospel, when Jesus commanded them to get into a ship and sail forth. And we read this, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. They were afraid. Because of the sea, because of the winds, because of the tempest, they were afraid because it was the darkest hour. And he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And then the Saviour speaks. And straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, be not afraid." And what was he to do? There they were, afraid, because they feared he was a spirit. They were afraid because of the sea and the wind and the waves. But he says to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And what does he do? As he says this, "Be not afraid," he calms their poor troubled heart. And then he calmed the sea and the waves and the wind. There may be many things tonight that are making you afraid. But may the Holy Spirit so whisper this word to you, as he did to those dear disciples, to calm your troubled heart. Be not afraid. What will be the effect of it? You take away all that fear you have, and how all the afraid condition that you feel to be in be all be removed. Be not afraid. And why hadn't they got to be afraid? Well, because the sea was in the Lord's hand. Their hearts, their lives were in his hand. And you know, if you look at it in maybe in your providential pathway, there are things that you're afraid of. It may be the way is rough. It may be the way is difficult. It may be there's much opposition from Satan and from men, and you're afraid. Be not afraid. The Saviour calms, you see, the troubled heart of his dear children. Be not afraid. And only he can speak it, you see. Men may come to you, or lovingly come to you, and say, well, you needn't be afraid. But what we need is the Lord to tell us that. Because when he does, he'll calm your heart in a moment, and calm your troubled breast. Be not afraid. Maybe you're afraid because of your sin tonight. You're afraid because the Lord's frown seems to be upon you. Poor soul, if he says to you, be not afraid, he can remove all that mountain of sin and all that troubles your poor heart in a moment as he speaks this word. Be not afraid. Let us look just briefly, and I'll be brief, at a few characters we spoke this word to in the Word of God. We think, first of all, of dear Jeremiah. You remember, you can read it in the first chapter of Jeremiah. It's a wonderful chapter, really. How he was afraid, and the Lord had anointed him to be a prophet among the nations. And what did he feel? To be just like many of the Lord's servants, if they're taught of the Spirit, will feel it. Well, Lord, I'm but a child and cannot speak. But what did the Lord say? He looked at all the faces of those that he got to speak to, and he was afraid of them. There may be those in your work, there may be those that you have to deal with, and you feel there are times where you're afraid. The Lord said to Jeremiah, it's a beautiful word, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Be not afraid of their faces. You see, they're only but grasshoppers in the sight of God, and I speak that rightly. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee, the Lord said, to deliver. And you look all through the prophecy of Jeremiah, how he was enabled to testify, and so solemnly in the places he was brought into. He needed that word, you know, right the way through. Oh, he did. You know, when the Lord gives his dear people a promise, he doesn't give it to them just for that day. They need it then, 'tis true, but they need it for the future. Oh, yes. And they approve the word. It'll stand when everything else fails. Be not afraid. And if the Lord says it to one poor soul tonight, be not afraid, poor soul, it's something you can live on and die on. Be not afraid. And then we think of Jairus. I did name his daughter earlier. You think of Jairus. His daughter of 12 years of age lay a dying. And he begs the master to come to the house. He knows that the Saviour, if he would touch her, she would be healed. But the woman with the issue of blood, her case had to be dealt with on the way. It seemed almost the Saviour was being delayed, but you see, there was a purpose in it all. Before he could go to the house after delivering the dear woman with the issue of blood, the messenger comes from the house. Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. Oh, you think of how the dear man must have felt. One only daughter, 12 years of age, and she lay dead. What did Jesus say when he heard the message? He says to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe, and she shall be made whole." There's no doubt unbelief in Jairus and in you and me say, "Well, it's impossible, she's dead." But it wasn't impossible with the Saviour, was it? Oh no. You may have got some impossible things tonight, poor soul. In your pathway, in your soul, in the business, in the family, whatever it may be. Those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. What did the Lord say? With God all things are possible. And you look how the Saviour went to the house and raised her in a moment from the dead. Maid, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose straightway. And he commanded that they give her meat. You see, the Lord, in coming to his dear people and speaking to them, can do those things that are impossible with men. And then there's that beautiful word. It's been with me much today, thinking on this text, on the 12th chapter of Isaiah. I remember preaching from it at home on one occasion. One of our ladies was due to have a baby that week. And, she said to me afterwards, she said, "It was such a strength to me." And in that chapter we read this, "Behold, God is my salvation," and then listen, "I will trust and not be afraid." And she said, you know, all the way through the deliverance and the bringing forth of the babe, she said that word carried her. "I will trust." Where? In the Lord, you see. And not be afraid. And may that be a word in season to you and to me to go home with tonight. I will trust and not be afraid. Those of you that may be exercised about following the Lord, you're afraid of speaking to his people. You're afraid of presuming. You're afraid many men of public prayer, about public prayer. But I will trust and not be afraid. Trust in the Lord, you see. He will give you all that you need. And he can take away all those fears you have and calm your troubled breast. I will trust and not be afraid. And we read this. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And be not afraid. And then, of course, there's the great air and article of death which is before each of us. Many times the child of God will say, how shall I stand in that great day? There are many that are afraid. They think and tremble because death is now upon the road. And they are afraid. And you may be tonight, but this is a word, you see, as I said earlier, you can live by and die by. As the old preachers used to say, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. He that has quelled your fears through life, poor soul, will never leave you in that great day and hour of death. Be not afraid. Many precious souls that have trembled as they've come down to the river, approved like the dear children of Israel did when they went through Jordan, that the bottom was good. You see, there's that wonderful promise, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to you and to me. The eternal God is thy refuge, and if he's thy refuge, poor soul, you've no need to be afraid. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And there'll be those arms that will carry you to glory. And he must have all the praise. But in conclusion this, and when they lifted up their eyes, may we be like them. They saw no man, save Jesus only. And that's all you need, poor soul. One glimpse of the dear Redeemer will put everything right in your poor heart and mine. Had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle, dies at noon. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit, if nothing today, apply this precious word to us. And may it be made life and power to us. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise. Be not afraid. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which was for our Needy Cases Fund, amounted to £860, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will expect to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 788. Come ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain, cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven, glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. 788.
seek that thou wilt forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word to our souls. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep as we go our way this evening. Do take us each into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.